Hello, fellow enjoyers of AFL. It's Matt Tarantino here for another draft video. And we're going to do a little bit of a top 20 revision post-draft combine. So, Dana, I'll let you...
Yeah, and even before the combine, to be honest, I've been having some changes of heart, some more research being done. And there's some players that have slid quite a bit, some that are rising. I'm buying the hype on some, not on others. So I thought it wouldn't just be a waste of a time of a re-ranking. It's sort of reflecting my current views, which are a bit different. So
I like it.
Similar vibes to the other one, sort of basing it on gut feel and just what I watch more than what I read. But there is more reading now because the season's over. Mm. So it's kind of been interesting to see how other people's opinions are influencing mine. And, you know, I guess, yeah. Let us know. Like last time, we had great engagement on the video. So if you got some feedback for me, if you think I've messed it up and it was better before, let me know.
And thank you for that feedback and thank you for, you know, the engagement. We love it. So yeah.
Yep.
All right, Dana, you want to go?
All right. So pick one and I'll be reflecting on what I had last time. So we won't mess up the screen too much for you guys. We'll keep it same as last time, which was awesome editing. But
thank you.
You're welcome, Matza. So last time I had Murphy Reid one and that was a bit... people in the comments calling me wild and I agreed it was wild.
It was wild. Yeah.
And if you, which vid was it that I?
We've only had one draft vid, man. So I don't.
Yeah,
know.
I don't. Maybe it was just in a conversation I had, but in the finals of the Coates Talent League, he was tagged by Ollie Hannaford.
Yeah,
and that's good and fine. And he had a decent first quarter, kicked a goal, but the more the game went on, he was getting chased down, tackled regularly. And the one knock I had, and everyone has against him, is he doesn't have that elite pace.
Yeah.
And I thought, geez, all the concerns are sort of coming to light here. Mm. And it doesn't affect him from having an influence on the game, but I think for a number one pick, I've soured on him a little bit. He's still pretty high, but
fair enough,
he's not number one anymore. Mm.
And so who is?
Jagger Smith is.
All right,
so he's just slid up one.
Okay, fair enough.
Jagger's, I don't know, man. You just watch the guy play. You think he's always too small, but he's just so quick and he's clean. And the question on him later in the year was like, what's his disposal like? Is he damaging enough? And then he was just more and more damaging as the year went on. So I thought, you can't knock this kid just because he looks a bit more slight. Like he's a young kid at the end of the day. I think he'll be a great player. He'll be an accumulator, damaging, like a Chad Warner-esque sort of really pacey. And I think if he gets a bit stronger, like no one thought Chad Warner would be shrugging people off.
No.
You know, so something akin to that, I think, is what we can expect from him.
That's fair. I guess, him just getting that bit stronger would just elevate him to just another level, you know, in the big leagues. But there we go. All right. I like it.
Now, number two, this guy slid up slightly.
Okay.
Slightly. It's Finn O'Sullivan. Bumped him up above Levi. Reason for it. He tested really well at the combine, and that's where the revision comes in and why we're doing this video.
Mm.
And not that I read, and everyone always says, like, you don't read too much into the testing. It's sort of there to supplement what you see and all that. But when you're testing really well for, what was it, the vertical jump, which everyone's saying he's got great hands.
Yeah.
He's got long arms, and if he's jumping that high, that's a point of difference around the ground.
Oh, yeah.
Firstly, like, one of the commenters, sorry, I've forgotten your name, but... He compared Finn O'Sullivan to Heaney, which I didn't do in my video.
Yeah.
And I thought, geez, I think Heaney's slightly taller, but what's he known for? What's he been known for most of his career so far? He's like damaging aerial presence, really strong. And then he's become more of a mid over time. That could be what we get from Finn O'Sullivan. And he's really highly ranked, and I think for good reason. His underage year was better than his year this year.
Yeah.
But man, if he's anything like Heaney long term,
that's kind of the guy you want.
That's what you want, man. Like, you'll take him getting 18 to 22 touches of just power and agility and cleanliness and then wait for the accumulation of the ball to come maybe a bit later. I think that's a payoff teams will happily make.
Yeah. No, fair enough. Yeah. There we go. So far, we've got number one being a Chad Warner-esque player. And number two being Isaac Heaney. So the Sydney Swans are dominating this.
Number three
this
is actually Errol Goulden. No, he's not. Number three is actually Levi Ashcroft.
Okay. Yeah.
Whose brother had a bit to say about Sydney's success at the end of the year.
True.
Look, Levi just dropped one spot. I sort of swapped him with... he's remained in number three. It's just that Murphy Reid has fallen out and Finn's come back into the top three.
Yep.
Look, I think Levi, he's a sure bit of a number three pick as you'll ever get.
Yeah.
He'll be an accumulator. He's tough. He's smart. Leader. Like, I don't think there's anything on the field he can't do other than what his height restricts him to do, which is play a key position.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
So other than that, I think he can pretty much do everything. He can be a, like someone putting the ball in the 50 on a plate for people. He can be kicking goals. He can be off halfback, in the mid, on the wing. I can't see a position he can't play.
Hey, lucky Brizzy, man. Lucky Brizzy.
Man. Again, I said this last time, like, what is Marcus Ashcroft up to? I want some of it.
True.
If I have a son, like, I want to have a chat with him.
I don't know, man. Shout out to him and his genetics, bro. He's had two fine boys,
man. We shouldn't mix. I don't know what his missus' athleticism is like, but it must be something decent.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know, netball, volleyball, you know.
You'd think so, yeah.
Who knows, man.
Anyway, respect. Athlete, you know, man. Number four. Now, this is a bit of a riser. I had him number seven last time. I'm back on the Josh Smiley train.
Well,
no particular reason.
Just before you say anything, the fact that Murphy Reed has dropped.
He's out of the top five.
Top five?
That's a spoiler for the next one. He's out.
Whoa.
He's still high. Like, it's a good draft, man.
Yeah, you know,
it's a good draft.
Fair
enough. I would say it's
be
more.
Fickle, Dean.
Yeah.
Sorry, man. Nah.
No, but.
Nah. I was getting in before the comments, you know?
No, it was. At the time of the vid, he could do no wrong in my eyes. And then in the finals of that game, all of my small doubts, because every player has doubts. But
yeah, of course, yeah.
It was basically like magnifying glass on it, and he failed it, in my opinion.
Fair enough.
So it's kind of scared me a bit.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
But I still have him high. He's going to be a great player, no doubt. Yeah.
So Josh Smiley, sorry to catch
you. So Josh Smiley is now number four, and everyone went off him because of lack of production in the back half of the year. His first half of the year was like, this guy's the next Bond. He's crazy. Yeah. And then it sort of... Championships underwhelming, not bad, but underwhelming. And then just didn't really, maybe had like one or two games in the last run of games where they were like to standard, but too many were like, what are you up to there? What are you doing? And that soured me and many others. But when the season's done and you look at the bulk of work and you look back at the highlights, and I don't mean just like flicking through a 3-minute video watching highlights. I mean like you watch the videos again and you see like actually this guy at his best, he is 194 centimeter mid. Like they don't come often.
Yeah, that's true.
Like if you look at the peak of what he can do and then maybe the floor of what he's done, I'm happy to bank on that with the top five pick for sure in any draft, I think. I don't think there's a draft where this guy shouldn't be going in the top five, in my opinion, now that I think about it.
Yeah, look. And I remember seeing early on in the year, because that's when I was paying more attention, right, is the sidestep and the, you know, the quick feet for a dude that tall. That in itself is impressive, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so, yeah, no, fair enough.
And my knock still is like he doesn't have enough impact when he does go forward like a 194 centimeter mid should.
Yeah.
In saying that, if he's just a full-time mid, so what?
Yeah, no, it's not the worst.
Guys like Bevo wouldn't get tempted to throw him forward.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, true, you know? True.
You have to bank on it. And the fact that he is skillful by foot with the size is like, okay, there's a bit to work with here. It's not just size and he just happens to play mid. He's actually got skill.
Yeah.
With some things to work on for sure. But no, he's a top five pick for me. Five now is Sid Draper, who stays at five.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. So, look, Sid, he's just explosive and he's tough as guts. And I think just any team, specifically Adelaide, who's picking around this point, if not, they are pick five.
I believe so. They're around there. I can't remember.
I think they're fifth. Yeah. Look, wherever they are, that's the kind of guy you just eye off and you think, man, this guy's going to be captain of the club at some point.
Yeah.
Which... explosive.
Sort of fits for Adelaide if they do get him, because you've got Laird who's aging, you've got Matt Crouch who's definitely aging, and they've been trying to palm him off the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a good fit. Jordan Dawson, you know, he's probably still gonna have a 5 or 6 good years.
Yeah.
That'd be a nice little duo there.
100%. And I think really the only thing stopping him from going higher is the other guys above him have more skill by foot, in my opinion.
Okay. Yep.
He's much more handball first, which isn't a bad thing as a midfielder. Someone has to do it. But I like banking on the potential of being more skillful, maybe putting the ball inside 50 and so on.
That's fair enough.
But for all I know, it's just he hasn't really had to do it. And he was playing above his age in the Sandful, and maybe he just thought, I'm just going to give it off to the more experienced players.
That makes sense, yeah.
So I could be wrong on that, but no, he's a great player, top five pick. Now, number six is the biggest riser on the whole board.
So still no Murphy Reed.
Still no Murphy. This guy was 17 in my last rankings.
Jeez.
I'm buying the Alex Tyrou lottery. I'm in on it.
There we go. Hey,
I'm on board the Alex train.
Sixth for Tyru. Look, it seems like he's risen up quite a few people's leaderboards.
It is a bit of just, this is a pure reading and listening to what people like your Kaltumis and so on are saying. Like, this guy's rising fast. He will be a top 10 pick by the sounds of it.
Yeah.
And then you think, okay, I'm not just going to believe these guys. Let me watch the tape again. Let me review. Let me look at the combine results.
Yeah.
In the combine, he won the running vertical leap.
Running vertical, okay.
So running and then, jumping. And
so the intercepting, you know.
And he was also one of the top four 20-meter sprint. And what does intercept defenders? What did intercept defenders do all day? They zone off their man and they jump at the ball.
Yes.
And he's got the hands to match it. It's not just athletic. When the ball hits his hands, he's usually clunking it.
And this, you know, that doesn't only translate to an intercepting defender. That could be a leading forward as well.
Well, he's kick goals when you move forward.
Yeah.
So. I definitely like him more as an intercept defender. But, man, people saying like, oh, the Luke Trainer. Like, why I was getting a bit annoyed at the Luke Trainer hype train for a little while there was I didn't see enough toughness in the air, in my opinion. I just saw someone who just happens to be playing that intercept role and he's tall enough according to the age group.
I
don't necessarily see it reflecting like I do with Tyru. I think Tyru's, he's a brute, he's tough. But the jump and the sprint is just like, if you were building an intercept defender in a lab, that's what you would want. Like if you're on 2K, you're like, slide that up. Slide the 20 meter sprint up. Like that's what you're focusing on. And then you worry about disposal and that stuff later. Which he can work on, but apparently he's really raw and he's had injuries growing up too. So it could just be there isn't a bulk of study on this guy.
Yeah.
Less games to analyze.
And the timing's just right that he's just rising up and he's just, you know.
And everyone's sort of banking on the potential of it. Like, man, if he's doing this with this amount of work compared to the others, what can he do when we get him in the system?
Yeah.
I think everyone's like, I think Cal compares him to Sicily as well.
Now I want him so bad at North, bro. Now that you've compared him to Sissels, because Sissels, you know, is one of my favorite players.
Tyru to the Ruse.
Tyru to the Ruse. Let's make it happen.
I don't know. He just excites me. And I think he's not necessarily the best key in the draft today, but we're drafting for the career. And I think he will be the best key player in the draft eventually.
Well, there you go. Well, look, if he's got like Sicily, Stewart vibes, those players are so valuable, man.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Number seven is my boy sliding from one, Murphy Reed.
Yeah.
Now, I want to be very clear.
All right, here we go.
I love all these players. This is my favorite draft I've ever covered.
Yeah. Well, there we go.
I love this draft, right?
Yeah.
This is nothing against Murphy Reed, but I just think the other guys have a bit more of a sure thingness to them.
Yeah.
And he's still seven. In my eyes, he's still a sure thing, but the other ones are just a bit more like, you can't put them seventh.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
You know what I mean?
Fair enough, yeah.
I mean, technically, you could put Tyru seventh, but fine. Then Murphy would go sixth. So you're neither here nor there at that point. So, Murphy, man, he's so skillful.
So still Sheasel potential?
Yeah, but not... I think Sheasel was just... Sheasel. I don't even know how to word it.
Yeah, no.
I think people would forgive me for not even having an explanation for him, but like Sheasel's just Sheasel, man.
Yeah.
No, and he's a bit taller. He's got a bit more, like you can put him as a marking target slightly.
Yeah, true.
And he played half back. He has an impact forward. So we've sort of seen it with Sheasel and he's just elite of the elite character and all that stuff as well.
Yeah, true, true.
But in terms of like by hand, I think that's a very Sheasel-like thing he's got.
Yeah, that's true. So Sheasel traits.
Sheasel traits, but I'll be stunned if he's... no one's Sheasel. Like,
yeah, no. No, I agree.
I wouldn't put that expectation on anybody, to be honest. Kid's a freak. So Murphy at seven. Now, this guy here, I would really love to put him higher. And a lot of people do, but again, it's such a good draft. Someone has to slip, and it's him in my eyes still, which is Sam Lawler.
Okay. Yep.
He's just a powerful unit, man. Like, you look at him in a line, and you're like, this guy is just clearly an athlete.
Yeah.
Some of the other kids still look a bit more... Like, you're not sure if they are an athlete. Like, a Jagger Smith, you look at him, you're like, you're not saying this guy screams athlete. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, fair enough.
But Lawler, you're like, this guy's doing something.
Mm.
And it's not necessarily footy. He could be like a rugby player or like he's a brute, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Very powerful. And he had a good, I think he had a good jump at the combine as well. So, some of those high-flying marks he's taken around the ground, pretty evidently, like, coming up in the testing as well. So
Yeah. So, no fluke.
Nah. I think if you're like the Saints or Melbourne around this point of the draft, you're like, yes, please.
Yeah, true.
You just take
true.
Him.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think he's gone top three for Cal's fandom guide, which is interesting. But like, yeah, look, not that his ranking has any more validity than yours, to be honest with you. Oh, maybe it does. But like, look, it's interesting to see that, like, obviously he's come up big, you know what I mean? And clubs are starting to rate him highly.
Yeah. No, totally.
But yeah, and it sounds like it's a bit more like based on the physicality.
Yeah,
maybe and perhaps than the output.
Correct. And he's a cricketer as well, but he's focused on footy just this year.
Okay.
So basically, I was listening to Cal's interview with him. Every off-season, he'd be playing cricket in the summer. So he never really had an off-season to focus on his footy athleticism. Like he'd be going between just playing cricket, not worrying about footy in the off-season, then footy during the season, not worrying about cricket.
So
clubs are kind of like, okay, give us an off-season to train you in footy traits that you need.
Yep.
Footy endurance, etc. And what's this guy going to be?
Yeah, true.
And I look, even just saying that again out loud makes me think, bloody hell, like he's got to be top five. And you know what?
There you go, yeah.
I would agree with you, but there's only five people that can fit in the top five.
Yeah, fair enough.
I can't override.
And seven that can fit in the top seven.
The laws of math just restrict me from putting him in the top five.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
So don't blame me. Blame math on that one.
Look, it's all opinion at the end of the day. So it's like, you know, someone's just got to slip out, you know.
And I'm tempted to swap him with Draper, but he's done it at sample level. Like,
yeah, fair enough.
You have to respect it.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
All right. So nine is Harvey Langford.
Okay. Yep. That's another one that Cal has very high as well.
Yep. Something he tested really well with at the combine, which is reassuring.
Yep.
Because he's not explosive. So he didn't do well in agility or 20 meter sprint and all that. He did well at the 2K.
Ah, so he's got that engine.
A bit more of an engine, right? Okay. So I think if you're going to be, you're great, you're a tall mid, you can have an impact up forward, but we question your athleticism. I think you can make up for that with endurance at least.
Yeah.
That seems like a nice payoff.
That's fair. Yeah, 100%. And look, that'll probably be, you know, bodes well for his year one, you know, because then he can at least run a game out on the wing or something or
that
type of vibe.
Totally. So,
and I just, not ready to go inside, of course.
Yeah. And I just think like long term, if you're a 8 out of 10 every week and you're just consistent throughout the four quarters, or you're this guy that has a quiet quarter and then explodes 10 out of 10 quarter, then quietens down because you're more of that explosive athlete.
Yeah.
I think both are valuable. Yeah. So he warrants a top 10 pick for sure. His body of work, he can go forward, take a mark. Interestingly, I saw this video that the AFL uploaded. They went behind the scenes of the National Academy for the games they played at the start of the year. So it took them long enough to get this out. But
true.
When he was saying like, oh, tell us your name and your position, he actually said forward, bit of mid.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, okay. And then throughout the year, he was full on mid mostly.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, okay, maybe there's a bit of untapped midfield potential with this guy. Like we've seen it, but you know, what's that going to look like moving forward? Maybe he's a forward first.
Yeah. So a bit of, who knows? I guess, so it's almost like the Josh Caddy of this draft, or the back in the day Kerno when they weren't sure, is he a forward? Is he going to be a mid? Is he this?
I like the Caddy shout. I mean? That's interesting. People forget Caddy. Like for a short amount of time, he was a very good player.
I mean, like the recent, what's his name? Is it Josh Caddy or Nate?
Oh.
Josh Caddy. I'm trying to think which is which.
Josh is the Richmond.
The young one?
The premiership player.
I said Nate, yeah.
Nate's the younger one.
Yeah, the young one. Yeah, that's what you, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, no.
Even Josh, though.
That's I was going to say, Josh. Maybe, hey, that
it works either way.
That might have been a better shout, man. Who knows?
So it's interesting. Yeah, look, for me, for sure, he warrants a top 10 pick. End of story. Like, he has to be in there. Number 10. So this guy slipped from 6, and it's Harry Armstrong.
Yeah, okay.
So there he's now the second key to go in the draft.
And the first being Tyru,
correct. He tested with very good agility at the combine, which isn't surprising.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of is. But really with Armstrong, like I said last time, he just reeks to me of like consistent, low possession, punish you with goals.
Yeah.
And like at the end of the day, we're in this sport to kick more goals than the opposition.
Yeah.
And I just think if you look at him like a Cadman sort of body type, long arms, left-footed, like they've got a lot in common there.
Yeah.
Can crash a pack a little bit. I do think Cadman was a better prospect slightly. He just had a bit more involvement in the whole game, not just with the goals. So that's why I wouldn't rank him as high as like Cadman went one, but in that draft he was sort of seen as a top 3 or 4 pick.
Yeah.
He's in other drafts he might be, but I just think he sort of got a little bit of a lackadaisical sort of approach to him as well. He's not like all action. Like his face is very like Yeah, he kind of looks a bit disinterested out there, but he definitely plays with intensity when he's near the ball.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It's kind of a weird thing I've observed with him, but it means nothing. It's just his facial expressions.
It's like my boy Mabio Cho. He still looks a bit lackadaisical, yeah. You know what I mean?
A little bit.
Yeah, he's another one of my boys. All my boys are from Hawthorn for some reason.
Hawthorn undercover fan, I don't know.
I don't know, maybe. It can't happen.
But yeah, Harry, I just think Harry Armstrong's... Like, if you want a forward and you're in the latter part of the top 10, you're just like, thank God he's available.
Yeah.
For sure.
Fair enough, yeah.
Number 11 will be Toby Travaglia.
Yeah.
He's still thereabouts for me. So, last time I had him 9. So, he's slightly been pushed out due to Tyrou jumping in.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's the only one that
jumped in. Maybe Lola might have jumped in as well.
Yes.
Yeah, I think he's...
Lola was 12. I didn't mention that before.
Yeah.
So, he slightly slid 2 spots, but... He actually came 2nd in the 2K, which fully supports everything you'll see about him, which is just rebound and just energy, always in the game, always in the handball chains, starting them, finishing them. I sort of likened him to, I think you mentioned maybe like a Weddle type when I was talking about him a bit.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty accurate. He's not as, I don't think he's as beefy as Weddle is. Like Weddle's a bit of a freak athlete.
Yeah. No,
even more than just the endurance.
Yeah.
But yeah, this guy's going to come in and play halfback and just run all day and compete hard. And even though he's a bit undersized now, he's just tough as guts.
Yeah. Is he like, what, 191, 190, 180?
Yeah, I think he's just around there. He's not too much taller. Yeah.
So decent size for a halfback as well.
He might even be like high 180s. I don't think he's quite measured at 190 yet.
Yeah.
But man, those guys that just compete all day and run all day, they're useful on premiership winning teams for sure. Like you need them around. And besides, I just really like watching him play. Like those kind of players that are all action are just fun to watch.
So, yeah, that's fair.
Number 12, probably a bit stiff to slip this far, but Leah Lombard I've got here.
Yep.
He came, not only did he win the agility testing, but he tested 6th all time.
Oh.
Right? So.
Okay.
It's surprising, but not really. Like when you watch him play, you're like, okay, this guy's defining trait is he's just got an excellent athletic base to work from. Not the tallest, but. When you're not tall, what do you need to be? Zippy and fast and all that stuff, right? So, excellent player. He's proven himself at VFL level already with Gold Coast. So, for him, the midfield impact will just come with opportunity, I think. So, it's going to be tough. I mean, they've got a great midfield, Gold Coast. That's the one part of their team that everyone knows what to expect week in, week out.
100%, yeah.
Tuk, he had a good year last year, but still... Maybe not quite the heights he's hit in the past.
Yeah, but I think that might be just the fact that Noah Anderson and Raoul have come in and, stake their claim a little bit more. Not that Tuk Miller had a bad year, but it'd be interesting to see how they sort of balance that rotation now. Because even like, he's probably not as good, but say Jake Rogers is another dude who you could possibly have in there.
Yeah, he'd be down the pecking order now for sure.
Was his name Graham as well?
Yep.
They've just got so many options in that inside midfield.
And they're bringing in Noble and Rioli by all accounts, who are going to play off halfback.
Yeah.
So then there's Sexton no longer in halfback.
No.
So then it's okay. Lombard, I mean, if we were playing a bit of a thought experiment here, as Matza calls them.
Yeah.
if Lombard, say, was drafted to North, you can see him just slotting into halfback.
Yeah, 100%.
But Gold Coast, they're going to have their own halfbacks now that are experienced.
Yeah, true.
So do you put him forward? I don't know. That's Gold Coast's problem, but they're getting a great player either way.
Yeah. They're going to be stacked.
Yeah.
They're going to be stacked.
Yeah. No, he'll be good for them. Number 13, slightly sliding from 10, is my boy, Kale Duran.
Yeah.
Ruck Tex, as Ruck coined Tex. By me, the one and only.
Yeah, the one and only. Yeah. Shout out to Dylan Alexander for watching the vid and learning, and quoting.
He referenced it,
referencing Dino. However, appreciate, shouting out the podcast name. Come on, man. AFL Enjoyers. That was an AFL Enjoyers first. Ruck Tex.
That's all right. We're still a small fish in a big pond.
We
earned a bit of respect there.
Yeah, no, we did.
but no, you know what? The Ruck Tex call, though, it seemed wild and like I can see why it stays in the mind because it's such a random call, right? However, I do want to point out at the combine, he was up there in the top 10 of agility testing and even beat Finn O'Sullivan.
Well, there you go. There you go.
And so, what do you need to do have good agility is a low center of gravity. And that's what I said about Tex.
Yes, yes. And that's what they always, I feel like that's what they talk about with Tex all the time.
Tex does that thing where you don't know which way he's going to go. He's got the ball in one hand. He's faking it. Like to change direction that quickly and sell the candy effectively, you need to have a low center of gravity. and change direction quickly. So that's just reaffirmed my thoughts with that.
No, I love that, man. Hey, that would feel, that'd feel good.
It did. Yeah. I messaged you right away.
Yeah, no. That's like, I had a moment, a little bit unrelated, but like I was watching, this was early Trent Alexander-Arnold days, right?
I've gone Liverpool, right?
This was early days. This was before he'd ever taken a free kick for us, right? And I'm like to my mate, as we're watching live a game against like Ludogorets or something, right? I'm like, he's actually pretty good at free kicks. And he's like, yeah. And then he goes and puts it in. And then I'm just like, wow, you know? Yeah. And then my mate, he was speechless, you know?
That's the, so I had that moment, you know?
That's what you want, man.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
Yeah.
Well, look, the only reason I don't have him above Tyrou or Armstrong is because I do think he will be a ruck first, then a key forward second, which isn't a bad thing. But I think if you're more forward than ruck, he'd be in the top. He'd be above Tyrou in my eyes.
Oh, wow. Well, there we go. Yeah. Well, yeah, but because I guess it's a bit more of a position of need. It matters a bit more.
Yeah.
Whereas because he's a bit undersized, then he's a ruck. Mm. Like, yeah, nah, you can see where, I guess, you know what, if he's purely just a ruck, maybe he's a bit of a Briggsy type vibe, you know what I mean? Because Briggs isn't actually, he's not the tallest, but he's just bulky, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but he's,
maybe Geraint can project as that, you know, just the physical presence.
But the athleticism is a bit different. Like, again, that agility, like Briggsy is just a bit of a unit. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. I don't, like, that's the fun thing with Geraint is that there's no comp for him.
Mm.
He's dominated the Waffle Colts, which is known as being the weaker competition.
Yeah.
So when you're this huge man with agility, like, he literally runs right in that, like, he's taking running bounces on the wing.
That's crazy.
He just does whatever the hell he wants in that league. Mm. Obviously, he won't do that early in his career, but I just think to him as like a refined athlete in the AFL level, one, wouldn't he be able to do that eventually?
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, probably a more similar comp for him is like a Rowan Marshall, to be honest. I didn't even say that last time.
Okay. All right.
But maybe there's something there in that Ruck Tech / Rowan Marshall vibes.
Oh, man. I'm so invested in his career now. Legit, I'm so invested in Cale Geraint now.
No.
Because of you, man.
If he ends up what I want him to be, what I think he'll be, everyone watching this vid right now, just remember the name, and if you haven't subbed already,
yeah,
come back and just sub out of respect.
That's it, man.
All right, pick 14.
Yeah,
Bo Allen.
Oh, okay,
this is someone again in most other drafts will be a top 10 pick.
Yeah,
he played Waffle Seniors to end the year. Very, like, he tested really well in like jumping, agility, all that stuff, and you can see it on the field. I think I said last time, like Dunkley-ish vibes.
Yeah,
just, great tackler, taller mid. Leader, tough, but he's sprinting over a short distance to chase down and tackle is really good, which is hence why he's a good tackler. And I just think whichever team grabs him, he'll be able to play a role, even if he's not the star of the team in year one. He'll come in, lock someone down, tag someone, just learn as he goes.
Yeah.
And then eventually he'll be like, oh, now you're tagging me.
Okay.
That's his best case scenario, in my opinion.
Fair enough.
But no.
You know, mate, Josh Dunkley would be a good result for any player. He's a gun.
I reckon. Mm. 15, I've got Isaac Kakko, who Bombers will get. I mentioned this last time. The Bombers got the rights to the academy with the rules that they confirmed.
Yep.
Right when he sort of got injured. So everyone was kind of like, this sucks. We can't even get him. And he's injured. So the tape just stopped rolling.
Yeah.
And that's why he slid on everyone's board. But honestly, the trajectory he was on, he was just like playmaker, finisher. But he could have games where he gets over 20 touches.
Yeah, and that makes a difference with those small forwards, man. It puts him into that, you know, are you a Grind Myers? Are you a Rankin? Are you that type of small?
I reckon he's a Grind Myers type, in my opinion. Mm. Like, he can get the ball, play make, and then finish if he needs to as well. Mm. So, yeah, they're going to get a good player there, unfortunately. Cooper Hines is my 16.
Yep, I think he's jumped up a little bit again. Oh, no. Was he
around
about
the
mark?
16 last time too.
Oh, actually. There you go. There you go. It's consistent with Hinesy.
I like Hines a lot. Again, I'm going to say this for a lot of these players. In other drafts, he'd be pushing the top 10.
Yeah.
He's about 190, 191 centimeters. One of these ones where you think start of the year is a forward, then by the end of the year he's playing mid and he's explosive, he's tall. I just think he's one of these players where you'll look in like a final series and he'll break a game open.
Yeah,
he's got that game-breaking ability, in my opinion. And again, the Lovey, he gets the Lovey in that first round, sort of mid to late. But I think most would agree, if you've got him that high, by default in other drafts, Yeah, he's around that top 10 chart.
Yeah, yeah.
So I really like him a lot. Then at 17, I've got Jobe Shanahan. Good body of work in the VFL, really established his first round credentials, I think. Before then, teams were kind of like, okay, none of these key forwards are popping.
Yeah.
And then he plays VFL, you're like, okay, he's kicking a couple goals a game.
Yeah, which is, you know, it's impressive at that age.
Yeah.
You know, there's always scope to, for growth. So
correct. Yeah. And I just think if you're in the market for a key forward and you're picking around this time, you're thinking, if I don't get a key forward now and I don't take him now, when's my next pick? Later in the second round?
Yeah, when all the good ones have gone. Perhaps,
all of them were gone by then. Jack Whitlock, Jonty Fall, these other guys.
Yeah.
So you're thinking, okay, if it's really a position of need, he's going to go at this point to someone.
Yep, yep, that's fair.
And they'd be happy. They'd be happy with that. Then we've got Luke Traynor at 18. I think I had him 18 last time, so that hasn't changed either. Yeah, he's not getting as much love. I think I'm hearing a lot of concern with concussion history.
Yeah.
I don't know. We don't get the medicals, obviously, but there must be a reason behind that. Otherwise, you'd think he'd still be getting a shout maybe right after 10 or somewhere thereabouts.
Yeah.
But he's kind of slipped off the radar.
I think you mentioned in another video where he dominated a game and he kicked the winning goal of like an AFL, what do they call it? The AFL Academy.
He was best on ground in the first Academy game.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Where a lot of the eyes are on that. It's the first big game of the year for the Academy. And he was best on. But again, like when you're a halfback in a team where you're playing a VFL team, you're going to get opportunities to intercept and look good.
Yeah.
That's kind of like the Jack Zabel at North in the last few years of his career. Like, the ball's there enough. You're going to intercept it enough times.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. And then there's... Oh, man. Don't hurry back to that. When he used to just get destroyed with how slow he was. But we love Zeebs.
We love Zeebs. Legend of the club. But
100%.
Yeah, I just think Luke Traynor, there's nothing about him that makes me say, like, you have to get him now earlier than this.
Fair enough.
There's just players with other more exciting traits, in my opinion.
Yeah. I feel like it's a position where a lot of clubs kind of have their guy as the non-lockdown, the non... You know, quick guy, bit of intercept, bit of in between. I think a lot of clubs have that.
You have to be sure that you really like his ability to read the game or like something about him you really trust and know will be there his whole career. Because otherwise you're just drafting a guy who played intercept defender.
Mm.
Like, what's his outstanding ability? I don't know.
Yeah, fair enough.
So I'm a bit colder on him than others. At 19, I've got Joe Berry, who I think he has slid. Oh, no. Nope, still 19.
There we go.
So Joe Berry hasn't changed. Small forward. I've got him technically as the second best small forward in the draft behind Kakko.
Yep.
I just think when you watch the final series, you see these small forwards tear it up. This is the time to grab one of the better ones.
Yeah. I think of all times, like of all years and times, it's now where it's like if you pick a small forward earlier, you won't be like judged as harshly.
Correct.
Like back in the day, they were, you know, late second, third round type options, you know, the small forwards. Whereas now... Yeah, they're game winners.
Yep.
You know, say even like a dude like, say a Callum Archie, for example, right, playing half forward slash, you know, small forward, kicks four goals in a final and you're like, where's this guy been, you know, the last 7-8 years, you know? So
correct. Yeah, no, they're worth their weight in gold.
And that's that's not even mentioning Lohman and Charlie Cameron and all those guys. So, yeah, anyway.
You need the match winners for sure in the finals. So he very well could be that. I think he's a great player. And then at 20, didn't appear in the last list, but I did mention him as a, like someone I want to bring in. And one of the comments on the other vid was like, where is he? Where's Xavier Lindsay?
Oh, here he is.
Was the comment. So here he is. I did want to get him in last time. I didn't, and then I regretted it. but he's really, really good ball user with his left foot.
I was going to say, you regretting that is like me putting Connor McDonald late in my redraft video.
Go watch Matt's redraft of the 2021
draft. No, don't.
Go watch it and tell him, like, why is Mac Andrew slipping so much? Roast him for that, like one of the commenters did.
Nah, the one was like, tell me you haven't watched Mac Andrew without telling me you haven't watched Mac Andrew.
That was a good comment.
That was
I promise it wasn't me, but I agree wholeheartedly.
I wish it was you, bro. I like the creativity.
So 20, like I said, Xavier Lindsay, elite ball user. I do have some doubts about his athleticism to really take over games, but I think he can be a really good halfback for a team. I think that's... like an outside player halfback, I think he'll find a home and be really damaging, to be honest. Yeah.
And how many halfbacks end up being midfielders, man?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it was in vogue, like, you know, like last year, this year, Ed Richards, Dawson, how many?
Heaps.
Hayden Young. That's just the thing nowadays. It's just like, let's put our best ball users into the midfield, and it seems to work.
So. Yeah. if I had to give him a comp, which I didn't do in the last vid, maybe like Nick Newman-ish sort of vibe.
Oh, okay.
Okay, yeah. So tough, good kick, good vision as well to pull off some tricky kicks as well. So
yeah,
no, I kind of like him there. I think he's first round worthy. Cool. And then look, if I'm to give some honorable mentions beyond 20, I've got Christian Moraes, who's sort of fallen off people's radar a little bit. But again, he's that sort of classy half forward wing type. I don't think he'll be a full-time mid moving forward, but he's a pretty damaging, maybe like early career Sean Higgins-y type of player. He's a bit, he was a different player later in his career than early. I think he's more like early Sean Higgins.
Late Sean Higgins.
Oh, he's different gravy.
Oh, man, what a player. What a player. I love watching Higgins.
And then Ollie Hannaford, another small forward, who's the one that tagged Murphy Reid.
Yeah.
I think he got like close to 30 touches or thereabouts in that game and did a tagging job. Like, he was just elite. But otherwise, he's been a small forward. So it's like, oof. I don't expect him to be an on-baller, but if he can go in there for a centre bounce, cause a spark.
Be a bit of a Bedford type vibe, maybe.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe. Jesse Dettoli is there, another on we'll mention, another small forward sort of mid.
Yeah.
Jack Whitlock, tall forward slash ruck, Jonty Fall, key forward, and Charlie Nichols. This is a bit of a random name.
Yeah, no, there we go. That sounds like, isn't that Josh Nichols? Josh Nichols from Dragon Josh back into that? Nah, Charlie Nichols.
Charlie Nichols, he caught my eye early in the season for the SA Allies, South Australian.
Okay.
And he's a key forward, but then he moved key back. And he's just marking the ball really effectively, tall, can jump at it.
Yeah.
I think he's a pretty raw marking target. But okay. I kind of like him. If you're going to take a punt on a key position player and you're sort of thinking, okay, who's got the best athletic traits, but also sticky hands, I think he's been slept on a little bit.
Okay.
But not enough for me to sneak him in the top 20. No way.
No, fair enough. How about the other guy you mentioned to me earlier?
Stumpf.
Stumpf.
You know? Yeah, Northern Knights. This guy tested really well at the combine. Like, I'm not going to be this kind of guy that says now that he tested well, find a way to put him in the top 20.
Yeah, fair enough.
But it did make me go back and check his stats in the Coates Talent League. And he was kicking goals all year.
Okay.
So he's 195, 196 centimeter, but athletic, like fast off the mark, good jump. So now I'm thinking, okay, why isn't he getting rated as highly? I'm interested to see if the rankings start giving him a shout out a bit more now.
Yeah.
There must be something in saying that you're in the late second, early third, you need a key position player. That seems like a perfect player to take a punt on.
Yeah, 100%. Like, you're not at the second round, third round, you're not expecting a guaranteed thing. You know, that's kind of where we went. Didn't we go around that area for Combin back in the day?
Yeah, it was like 30 something, right?
Yeah, you know what I mean? So it's like
a similar vibe, actually. Yeah. So
there you go.
Could be someone that a team just takes due to the athletic dominance and hope. You don't know his character, but if he's got the competitive edge and you know a bit of patience with his body to develop, it could be an interesting prospect. But someone to watch for sure. And then there's like the Camporelli brothers. I'm sure Carlton fans are like, where are the Camporelli brothers? They're in that mix, like second round somewhere.
Fair enough. But lucky for Carlton, they don't have to, you know. Like, I once said the Camporelli brothers, specifically one of them, can't remember which one, was like top 10 top vibes,
Ben,
top 15.
Ben's the dad. Sorry. Scott. Scott's the dad.
I have no idea. Ben's the son. I have no idea. Insert generic name here, you know, next to the Italian name. But so look, I don't know. Did they tell those boys settle down, you know, start having pizza every night for a year and, you know.
I think got their we live in SA lack of eyes on them, to be honest.
Maybe that's it, you know.
They'll get some handy players there for sure. But no, it's really exciting draft, man. I guess if you're watching this video, you are interested in the draft, but I don't know. Tell me what you guys think. I think this is the deepest draft that I've ever followed. And in your re-ranking videos, you sort of see that, like, yeah, that top 5-10 is like really good players, and then it does taper off a little bit. In this draft, man, I'm naming names here. I'm like, man, I really want to put this guy in the top 10, but I can't.
Yeah.
Now, that's probably going to change as the years go on and we see some more evidence of these guys at AFL level. But for now, it's really fun to follow.
That's good.
I think draft night's going to go off, to be honest. Round one, night one.
I've got to make sure I've got the day off, actually.
Mate, sicky.
We'll sort it 100%. We'll see how we go. Yeah, we'll sort that out.
Fair enough, man. I'll be here, right here, literally. It's my spot on the couch.
That's it. So I'll hopefully be right here watching with you.
Otherwise, let us know. Comments again. Engage with us. Really enjoyed that last time. Bit of banter back and forth. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for watching, guys. I'll see you on the next episode.
Catch ya.